Luke 2, verse 8 through 14. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's God's word. And all God's redeemed said. We began this Christmas series of messages in Genesis 3:15. We looked at the promise of Christmas in the midst of sin and judgment. Then we went to the same passage that we read this morning, Luke 2, 8 through 20, we looked at the proclamation of Christmas. Looked at that angel of the Lord as he proclaims Christmas. And then last week we went to Matthew 2, 1 through 12, saw the purpose of Christmas in looking at the wise men. Today we go back to Luke 2. To see the praise of Christmas. We have examined the shepherds, we have examined the wise men from the east, and today we are going to try to examine this angelic host that shows up on the first Christmas morning. The event of the birth of Christ is like no other birth, because this birth, the birth of Jesus, will be attended by the messengers of heaven called angels. So let's look through this text and see what it says about the praise of Christmas. Number one, let me look at verses 8 through 10 and say some things about the intention of the angels, the intention of the angels. I think it is possible for us to miss the implications of the angels that appeared to the shepherds at the birth of Christ this day. But Luke does not miss it. When the holy angels appear, sinful humanity is thrown into a state of fear. Look what it says. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And their response to this angel was what? They were sore afraid. When heaven meets earth, the only response for those on earth is fear. The shepherds were afraid. The appearance of this angel, this light of glory that shone round about them, caused them to be filled with fear. And if you search Scripture, you will find that whenever angels are recorded as meeting men, the common response was fear, because the angels continually and quickly say, fear not. If you think that your heart would not be filled with fear at the appearance of an angel, then you probably don't know God very well and you don't know yourself very well. The immediate reaction and the immediate response to an encounter with angels is terror. Why? Because it is an encounter with the divine. And when God comes this close to humanity, the thought is that God is coming in judgment. And it is a fearful thing to be judged by God on our own merits. For God to look at our sins and for God to look at our lack of righteousness, that should frighten us to no end. So this, to the shepherds, is a terrifying reality. Holy angels appear to sinful men, and you know this just can't be good. These shepherds had been busy keeping watch over their flock by night. We are told they have not thought about their sinfulness or their lack of goodness or the judgment of God. But suddenly this angel appears and this light shines, and these thoughts of sinfulness and lack of goodness and judgment race through their minds, and they know they are ill prepared for this day and they are sore afraid. They misunderstand the intention of the angel. The angel, no doubt, knows what his effect upon these men will be. And so he immediately attempts to calm their fears and comfort their hearts by telling them to fear not. And the reason that they are not to fear is because the angel has not come that day to pronounce judgment on them. The angel has come that day to give them good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. So Christmas is not an event that should respond in fear. It is the reason for joy. It is the reason for the rejoicing of all people. God, who could very well justly have come in judgment and judged all people and found all people guilty and wanting, has not come with that intention, has not come with that purpose. He has come with another intention in mind. So Christmas is not a time to dread. It is not a time to fear. It is not a time to be sad. No, no, no. Christmas is a time to rejoice. It is a time to be filled with joy, great joy, for the undesired judgment of God has not come to man this night. It could have. But good tidings are delivered. The intention of God in Christmas is not to judge, but to save. To save those who are deserving of judgment because of their sin. The one who is most offended by our sin is the one who intends not to judge, but to save. That, my dear brother and sister, is good news. It is good tidings of great joy. Yes, it is good tidings of great joy that God has not come to judge us. He has come to save us. I don't think better news exists. It is the most wonderful message that the world has ever heard or will ever hear. Because if God had come to judge us, we're all damned. But that wasn't his intention. Fear not. We have not come to judge. We have come to bring you good tidings of great joy. God has come to save. That is the intention of the angels. Then notice, secondly, the interpretation of the angels. The angels interpret this event because we have a tendency in getting things really messed up. The angels interpret this good tiding of great joy. The angel explains this event in great and specific detail so that the good news of Christmas can't be misinterpreted by those who really want to know. So verse 11, the angels say, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Instead of delivering judgment and wrath, God has delivered a baby. A child has been born this day. And this gift of God to us is not to condemn us, not to judge us, but this child has come to save us. He has come to deliver us from our sins. He is, they say, the Savior. He is, they say, the Christ. He is, they say, the Messiah. He is, they say, the Anointed One. He is, they say, the Lord. He is not merely human. He is God. He is the one in charge. He has absolute authority. He is the master. He is the owner of all. In other words, this child that is born this day is not simply to be seen and adored, but he is to be heard and to be heeded. And he is to be believed. And he is to be praised. And so this identification of this child born on Christmas confronts our problem of sin. He is a Savior. He is the Savior. What do we need saving from? And who can forgive our sin? Who is the only one that can forgive us of our sins? God. Only the Christ who is the Lord. God has stooped toward man to not condemn or judge, but to save. And he has stooped to save man because man's problem is his sin. And the only one that can forgive man of his sin is God, and God has come in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ. And we are all accountable to God, yes? And we all know that we deserve judgment for our sins, yes? And so we as the shepherds would fear these angels appearing, yes? And we fear death because we know we need saved. And we need saved from God. The purpose of the birth of this baby was so that he would one day suffer the penalty for our sins in our place as our substitute on the cross. And I want you to understand something. We looked at the promise. Yes? Genesis 3:15. There is a promise that God will, through the seed of woman, send a Savior who will bruise his heel as he crushes the head of the serpent. And on this day, on Christmas Day, in this place, in Bethlehem, God is locking himself into dying on the cross. His birth locks him into his death. And to make sure that they don't miss the right child, they tell the shepherds that this child they will find wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. He will appear to be the least of all because he has come to save the least of all. Now listen. Salvation is not in a doctrine. Salvation is not in some type of conduct. It is not in what you do or don't do. Salvation is in a person. It is in Jesus Christ, who is born, who will go to the cross, who will bleed and die in my place and in your place, and all of those places who will faith by faith trust in him. The Christ. This is the Christ. This is the Savior. This is the Lord. This is Jesus. He's born on this day in the city of David. Don't miss him. Do not miss him. Don't confuse him with anyone else. You will find him taking the least place so that the least might be saved. Number three. Not only do we see here the intention of the angels and the interpretation of the angels, but thirdly, I want you to notice the instruction of the angels. Verse 13 and 14. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. What were they doing? Praising God. They weren't just praising, they were praising God. And saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The angel of the Lord speaking to these shepherds, and I am imagining that there is this multitude of angels who are trying invisibly and quietly to watch this wonderful event take place, and this heavenly host is so filled with the joy of the message of grace and the message of Christ and the message of the gospel. Heaven itself explodes as this multitude appears out of nowhere, praising God and ascribing the glory to God in the highest for the peace and the goodwill that He will bring toward men. Do you know what this is? What you see in verse number 13 and 14 is what is taking place right now in heaven as you and I sit here on earth. If it has, it is as if the curtain is pulled back on heaven and we are given a glimpse of what is transpiring in heaven. And when that curtain is pulled back, and earth can see what's going on in heaven, and earth can hear what's going on in heaven, we hear and we see the most glorious celebration of God that we have ever seen or ever heard. This is going on in heaven day and night. It's always what is going on in heaven. There is joy, there is gladness, there is praise, there is honor taking place this morning as you and I sit here. We may be distracted and we may be confused about what Christmas is truly about, but there is no confusion and there is no distraction in glory. Verse 13 is only a glimpse of the effect among the angelic host of being in the presence of God Almighty? What effect is there upon those who are in the presence of God Almighty? There is praise and there is glory and there is honor to Him, the King. And I think that this glimpse of the praise of heaven is designed to instruct us. It is designed to instruct us of what our future in heaven will one day be. And it is designed to instruct us in how we are to approach this day on earth. Listen, heaven is the most God-centered place in the universe. The praise of the angelic host is continually going on, and it's all, every bit of the entirety of their praise, their thoughts, their actions, their movements is for God. The glory is all His. He is God in the highest, they say. He is the highest being in the highest place. All eyes in glory are on Him. All hearts in glory are set on Him. All hands in glory are raised to Him. All voices in glory sing of Him. Heaven is all about Him. That's the way it is in heaven. And this day, Christmas Day of all days, should be the most God-centered days of the year for us. Every day should be a God-centered day. But this day, especially this day, the day we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, this day should be God-centered. Does what we do today look anything like what's going on today in heaven? Are we praising God for the provision given to us sinners in the person of Jesus Christ? Because it is through Jesus Christ that we are given peace with God. And it is through Jesus Christ alone that God is pleased with us. That's the goodwill to men. God is pleased with us. He's not pleased with our good works. He's pleased with us because He has given us faith to trust in His Son. He has given us faith to love His Son, whom He has sent to save us. And our sin is removed, and Satan is defeated, and heaven is our home, and the response of His people on earth on this day should resemble the praise that is going on in heaven with the heavenly choir. So let their response, recorded in verse 13 and 14, let their response to what is going on here at Christmas, their response to this glorious event, let this response of this angelic host, let it instruct us in how we are to react today. Because I think it is as if these angels are leaning over the railing of heaven, asking the shepherds and asking us, do you have any idea who this child is? They are marveling at this. They are worshiping God in this. They are asking us, do we know who this child is? Because this child from an angelic perspective, possesses all majesty. He is adored by His Father. He is worshipped by the angels. He is supreme. He is glorious. He is perfection. He is beautiful. He is marvelous. He is wonderful. He is God. And the angels know who He is. And they marvel at Him. But they not only marvel at who He is, they marvel at what He is doing for lost and depraved sinners. So the angels here are not just instructing us by their praise of who this child is, but they're instructing us in, do you get it? Do you know why He's come? Do you get it? He's come to save you. He has come to rescue you. He has come to be a curse for you. He has come to die for you. He has come to take your sins as His own. He has come to take your punishment for you. Are you listening to me? Please listen. All this praise, all this glory for God from a host of angels that Jesus did not even come for. Let that soak in. Jesus didn't come for the angels. And yet, here are the angels praising God for His coming. Jesus did not come for them. Jesus did not come to die for them. Jesus doesn't become a curse for them. Jesus doesn't take their sins. Jesus doesn't come to take their punishment. But they marvel. And if these angels could marvel at a salvation that they don't need, neither was it for them, how much more should we who find our salvation in Jesus Christ, how much more should we praise Him and glorify Him because of who He is and what He has done for us, so that the message today of God's people would be clear to everyone around. It would be clear, come and see what our God has done for us. That's what this day is about. Do you realize what God has done? We sing the song, Silent Night. I think according to Scripture, it wasn't a silent night. It was a night filled with praise and glory to God in the highest for who He is and for what He is doing for mankind. And I don't think it should be a silent Christmas today at Lakeview Baptist Church. He has given for us, and He has provided peace for us, and He is pleased with us, and will be pleased with us, and we will be at peace with God forevermore because of what happened on Christmas. And so I'm thinking Christmas Day is a day that we worship God because we simply can't get over what God has done for us in the sending of His Son for us. And all God's people said, amen.